Thanks, buddy.
You're welcome.
Bless you. Good morning, guys. Gee whiz. Me over there fighting tears. I'm thinking you could just bless the morning, we can go home. This is pretty good to me. Thank you for doing that video. I knew why she could do it, because what the point she was making is hers. Amen? That's why you could do it. But it's so helpful, because so many people go through the same struggles, the same lives, the same emotions, same beliefs. There's something really burning in my heart this morning, and whew, Brian, you got me all emotional here. I'm going to blame it on somebody. He was telling that story that I called him and said, how can I increase your anointing? I thought, what is it? I didn't call. Listening, I'm like, man, he's so serious. He must think I called him. You know, you had me hook, line, and sinker, man. It's kind of making me repent, because I'm a fisherman. Now I know how them fish feel. They're so fooled. And then, God, you know, I'm like, you got me. He got me. But, yeah. Thanks for that video. Because it helped me. Because I got things on my heart. And you know, sometimes when you speak, I don't think much about it, but it's been on my heart so much. We did that little interview a while ago, and I thought, wow, these things are on my heart for this interview, I guess. And it never came up. None of the things on my heart came up in the interview. And the video really just sent me forth, and then hit Brian's little testimony about 2009. So here's what I want to do. I want to share a couple things with you, and I want to talk from my heart. And I've probably never tried to make this point the way I feel like I'm going to make it this morning. So you guys will be the first. So I use yes, my guinea pig. No, I actually believe this is so the Spirit of God. And I think the reason I'm in this house and can do it here is because you have a solid foundation. You guys are taught very, very well. Like seriously well, like kingdom-minded, righteousness, become in love. You guys, some of my family comes here. A lot of them are here now, but some of them come here and pop in here and stuff, because I'm like, come here. Just come here. Like years ago, my brother called and said, want information up at Harvest Chapel. I said, don't go up to Harvest Chapel. You're 5 blocks from here. Just come here. And because I love you guys, and it's a good house. So I think you guys are going to be able to handle and hear and respond to this message in a good way. The beginning of her video, when she was sharing how she didn't like herself, man, I appreciated your boldness and your openness. She said, you know, I grew up, I was always overweight, always chunky, et cetera, et cetera. I've preached, I've seen this thing in my life now that I got saved. You know, I realized we've stereotyped what's in and what's out, and we've stereotyped people by shape, size, facial features, hair, all that stuff. So people are in a press their whole life. People are trying to fit in. And if you don't have a chance of fitting in, if you're not in the genetic circle to even think about fitting in, then you still got to deal with that. So you either act like you don't care, or you get hurt, you get hard, you get insecure, or you hate yourself, or you shut down and whatever. But the only reason you're doing the shutdown and whatever is because you do care. It's all reactionary. It's all, here's what it is. It's survival. Okay. I've noticed this for a long time. We love God. We're saved. We are sorry for our sins. Man, thank God for heaven. We want to be used by God. We study the gifts. I see us at large. I'm not saying you individually. I'm looking up. I'm not even looking at you. Did you notice I'm looking up? I'm not even looking at you. I don't even think you're... Oh, he's looking at me prophetically or something. I just look up. You have no idea how passionate this thing is in me. I don't even like when it comes on me like this. I don't even want this. Most of the time, good Christian people are in survival mode. And we don't realize it. We're using this book and the promises in this book to get things to change into what we want, for people to become what we hope. And we don't realize how we're letting all those factors in our life dictate who we are, how we are, and what we convey. We find a promise and we cling to it till it comes to pass. But until it comes to pass, or if it comes to pass, we still are reflecting a product of it not coming to pass, or waiting for it to come to pass. I hope I'm making sense. Like if we have a job and our boss isn't what we were hoping to work under, That becomes such a stronghold to us that all of a sudden it becomes such our focus, and we don't realize how it influences and dictates our life, our speech, our disposition, and our influence. And then we either pray and pray and pray for a new job, or pray for him to get knocked off his high horse. But the whole time we're letting all these things matter more, because we've never settled with the fact, I am not here to survive. I'm not here for you to treat me right. I'm not here for nothing bad to happen. I'm here to be more like him, for him to live in me, to look through his eyes and live from his wisdom. I'm actually here to shine who he is. Period. And I've seen us, good people. Rarely am I talking to hypocrites. There might be one in the room sometimes, who knows. I don't think that's as big a problem as we think. I think we're people that love God the best we understand God. And I believe we're going after him the best we understand him. And I believe we're teachable and a lot of times correctable. And I believe we make adjustments when we hear truth at large. That's the room I'm talking to. That I know. I've seen us as a whole in such a trap. It's such a trap. Because it's all about your influence. It's all about the message you send through your life. Like every day you live, it's taking you to the day you'll stand before him. You got this one little window called life. It's a gift, not a dread. You're not trying to get by. You're not hoping he moves some things and shifts some things so your day goes better. That is zero the point to Christianity. Did you hear how I emphasize that? Zero the point. Because if that's not zero the point, then those things are going to matter and decide what you convey and who you are and how you're doing. I know this is true. Magella, I love you. You've been around for a long time in this thing, right? Yeah, I didn't call you the Ancient of Days. Forgive me. You've been around a long time in Christendom. When you ask people how they're doing, almost all the time they tell you their one or two or three biggest struggles and say, keep me in prayer. Am I telling the truth? Who knows that to be true? Because she's a minister. She's ministered. She's cared for people. She's opened her home. She's been running this thing for a long time. You ask people how they're doing, they usually tell you their trial, not their relationship and their revelation. Which means we somehow got the idea that he's here for us instead of we're here for him. Which means the gospel's serving me instead of transforming me, so things around me are deciding me until he changes that. He's not here to change that. He's here to change me so that I can run well worthy of a prize and let nothing stop that race. We all have trials and things. We're not excited because our ducks are in a row. We're excited because we have a deeper revelation of why we're here. We actually understand now why we're alive. It takes the guessing out of it, and all of a sudden life doesn't have the power to speak louder than truth. And things that don't matter most will never matter more. You guys with me? Sorry I'm so passionate. I just can't help the passion sometimes. It's God, the reason I think I'm always so passionate is because it's such a strategic, distinct, but subtle lie. It's not an evil thing on people's part. It's a seductive, almost, lie. It's to get you to care for yourself instead of love not your own life unto death. It's you seek for yourself. You don't realize what's happening. And it's right to believe for healing. It's right to pray and believe you won't get laid off. Watch. But if you do, now I'm not saying that in a contrary lack of faith way. What I'm saying is, I know countless people in my Christian life have prayed and prayed and prayed not to get laid off. And when they did get laid off and didn't have the revelation when I'm speaking, then it's, why didn't God answer my prayer? Why did he let this happen to me? What am I doing wrong? And they became a person with a problem instead of a covenant. And now they're ineffective in their life of influence and shining as a light, and they're just another struggling person on the earth that has a doctrine or a belief system that's not working. I just never understood why you get layoff papers and you become laid off. Why aren't you in covenant? Why don't you say, wow, God, I'm so glad I know you. What would I do if I didn't know you? Rather than, oh my God, this can't happen. I got a mortgage. I got this. I got that. Oh my gosh. We got to pray and call them the prayer chains. Keep me in prayer. I just got laid off. And we think that's spiritual. We do a lot of things that seem Christian that don't produce life. We become what we're going through. And then turn it into prayer to get help. And until the help comes, we're obviously affected by what we're going through. Which renders you ineffective within your sphere of influence to multiply. Except that thing you believe you are. Are you guys okay? Okay, because I'm not sure I am. I'm trying to get okay. The only reason, the passion, I just let the passion come. I can't help that. I care about what I'm saying about. I've watched good people take a lot of hits by thinking wrong, believing wrong, but there was nothing wrong with them. Just wrong thinking, wrong believing. You're destroyed for the lack of. So let's get the knowledge and stop destruction. You're praying for healing. You're praying for a family member. You're praying for your spouse. Man, make sure if you're praying for your spouse today, make this decision. If you're praying for your spouse, please stop praying for them because you're hurt by them and they put you through so much. Because they're not carrying their weight and you got to always, and how come I always, and why am I the one that has to take the lead? And, well, it's always about you. You'll stand before him someday. Don't let where somebody's not decide where you are. Why would you let one person decide who you are if their name's not Jesus? We sell so cheap and we're not for sale. Like you're bought with a price. Do you know I'm quoting scripture right now? You're bought with a price. You're not your own. Seek ye first, not your well-being, kingdom of God. Now, don't get distracted when I say not your well-being. I believe in the blessing of the Lord, but I think we spend time pursuing it. And our God, or yes, our own God, Psalm 67, will bless us. Our goal isn't blessing. Our goal is His image. Our goal is His wisdom. Our goal is His nature. Our goal is to shine and walk as lights. If we let all this stuff, other stuff matter more, your light is finished for the rest of your life. And you're a discouraged Christian in quandary that goes to church because it's right. Is that too harsh? Are we okay? I feel like I'm being mean. Thanks. I needed that. No, I needed that. That was good. Thanks. That was the Lord. Did you hear the voice? Good word. Authority, man. Woo. Thank you, Father. Guys, Jesus said, if any man come after me, let him first deny. You guys know this. You get taught this. Listen, that's simple. He asks you to deny yourself because you were never made for you. You were made for His image. From the beginning of the book, the whole reason man's here is to be found in God's image, expressing God's nature. It's the only reason there's life on the earth, scripturally. The only reason there's a human on the planet is because God made that human for His image. And the whole goal of the gospel is the restoration back to the image. That's why you're not conformed to the world. You're transformed by renewing your single eye. Renewing your mind means thinking like you've never thought before. Well, where are you going to get these new thoughts? From new life. Why would you put new wine, the life of Christ, new wine into old wineskins? We have to be very sure that we haven't incorporated Him into us. That He's become us. It's why I've seen countless people struggle. I'm just going to say it straight. You don't have to struggle. If you're struggling, I'm not even going to say it's because you're deceived. You're struggling because you're thinking wrong. You're thinking about your life wrong. You're getting tricked into trying to make it instead of shining. Yeah, but you don't know what it's like on my job. That's not the point, what it's like on your job. What are you like on your job? What message are you sending? What do you convey? What's the testimony of your coworkers? What would they say at your funeral? Or would the preacher have to say nice things? See, I said, don't ask me to do a funeral because I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to say rosy things at your funeral. You know, you live, you don't care about nobody, you just this and that, and you just get, and then you drink, and one night you're drunk, you're smashing a tree, and then we say, well, I remember when they were 12, they prayed the prayer. No, I'm going to say, listen, this is an unfortunate story. I don't know what happened before death and where God was, and merciful God, He's amazing. But I tell you, we ought to learn from this. Let's honor a life that was, but man, let's learn from this. And that's, I would spring off that. Probably a lot of people won't ask me to do funerals because I'm very, very straight at a funeral. I don't just try to make you feel better. I just want to learn from everything. See, because that person's going to stand before God and answer for their life. I say it everywhere I go. I might as well say it here. I don't believe. This is my personal view. I don't believe the biggest problem on the earth is President Trump. I don't believe it's ISIS. I don't believe it's racial conflict. I believe the biggest problem on the earth is every day men wake up and live for themselves when they're made for His image. And He creates opinionation. Attitudes, it's human wisdom rampant. It's what this young lady was talking about on the video. She just grew up in a mindset because it's prevalent. It's the language you're trained by. You're homeschooled in the wrong home without signing up. You were born into Adam. You must be born. That is not a prayer that takes you to heaven. It's a transformation of life and a whole new reason for being. Let me just cut it straight. If you weren't self-centered in any way and you were strictly thinking for the kingdom, you could never fall prey to discouragement, ever. Most people would tell you discouragement is a normal faucet of life. No, it's a wrong view that allows the discouragement. The thing has to have a place to land. If you're not seeking your own, how can you be discouraged? Even in sickness, even in poverty, Paul said, man, I've been through so many things. Perils, perils, perils. You should see the list, right? Perils. You think, well, brother, you need to get some faith. That's what they say. No, no, no. You need to get Paul's perspective. Paul's saying, man, I don't even know, but every city I'm going to, Holy Spirit's telling me chains and prisons are waiting me. You know what we'd say? We'd say, I ain't going to that city. You got to use wisdom, brother. He's loving not his own life unto death, and he's writing about it and thriving, and people are seeing the light that's in him, and the gospel's being multiplied. He writes 2/3 of the New Testament, and we're still gleaning and growing and being matured and made more like him. Because nothing moved him. Why? I don't count my own life dear. Why? So I can fulfill the will of him who called me. Ain't that something? Come on, let's be very careful that we don't let this self-centered, subtle thing be in our life, that we're just here for a better day. We're just here for things to work the way we hope. We're just here for a better ride. No, you're here to shine.
That's right.
Come hell, come high water, he doesn't change, and he doesn't want you and I to change, and it's only by faith you're going to live this way. It's only by faith. Feelings are a dime a dozen. They'll lead you wrong all the time. The things you're feeling and believing, if they're not producing life, they can't be the Lord. I don't care how rational it sounds. There's a way that seems right to a man. And you think you have a reason to not be encouraged. And you have all the facts laid out like a court case. And yet the Bible tells you to be encouraged. Never throw away your hope. And run well. And fight the good fight of faith. See, your fight is not the devil. Your fight is not your coworker. Your fight is not your spouse. Your fight is remaining in a perspective that you're here for. It's a good fight of faith. Your fight is not losing sight of why you're here in the face of the chaos. We're called out. We're sanctified people. We're out of darkness into the light. We're in the world, not of the world. What do you think all that means? All that means is exactly what we're saying. I believe in healing. We pray for the sick. But what do you do if you haven't experienced healing? I just talked to the sister over here. She was in a car wreck. She had killed her. She couldn't walk. She was all messed up. She told me her story. God just fixed. She said, all I have is a little double vision left. I'm believing for it to change. She shouldn't even lived. And she said she has no pain. That's an amazing story. So we go, wow, and we rejoice in that story and continue to believe for the double vision. Do you ever run into anybody that we've prayed for, and we haven't seen them change? Well, we better have a better answer than not healed. Because next thing you know, you just become the one that can't get healed, won't be healed, and all of a sudden your light is quenched because this becomes your life and your influence is lost. In the midst of waiting to be healed. My mother's a perfect example. She's sick 40 years of my life and she died at age 68. I don't even know if she did it intentionally. She didn't complain. She was sweet. She smiled and you couldn't not love her. And she had more tubes hanging out of her. My brother's sitting here. I'm just going to get emotional. I mean, we had to change her pants when we were kind of young. We had to carry her to bed. My mother. I've seen people healed, guys. If I didn't understand what I'm preaching, I'd be a basket case Christian. I'd be like, well, I've seen other people healed, and God wouldn't even heal my mom, and I wonder, and we prayed and prayed, and wondered what we were doing wrong. Well, I'm just confused. No, I'm not confused. I know why I woke up this morning. The number one reason, I have fun in my life. I turkey hunted yesterday. I actually missed a turkey. That is one lucky turkey. I'm going to get him this week, too. The Lord told me to love you. I didn't tell me to love the turkey. I'm going to eat that turkey next week. No, I'm just kidding. I just had to get that out and get free from missing that turkey. But see, I can turkey hunt and have fun. You can go golfing. You can go swimming with a friend in the summer. It's not like you can't do the things in life that you do. You just carry the right attitude and you love people. I mean, I've been walking at the water company on the trail. Stop and pray for people and talk to them. I've been in a parking lot. Man, let me just pray for that. Just 2 days ago, I saw a guy. I said, what? He told me, because people talk their trouble. And the first thing out of my mouth, I said, well, listen, you can't tell me that and not let me pray for you. It wouldn't be fair. Let me pray for you. He said, what? I said, God, let me pray for you. He said, what do you mean? Jesus, man, he's amazing. He lives in me. He's my king. And he loves you. Please let me. He said, oh, okay. And I got to pray for him. I wasn't at church. I was just out there. Yeah? But if I'm caught up with my mom and her passing and the whole theological woo, well, I ain't even thinking of praying for that guy because my mom died. And now I'm letting my mom's situation decide my life and write my theology. Instead of Jesus' life, he's true theology. I'm following him, not my mother's mysterious situation. But here's what I want to say about my mother. You could not love her. I don't know how she did it. She didn't have the teaching we have. But somehow in her mind, she understood she wasn't an MS patient. She didn't carry that. Like, she didn't complain. You didn't walk in a room and she's just, oh, this stupid disease. And this. And do all the stuff that we would expect. I heard a nurse one time say to her, Kay, you need to learn how to vent your frustrations and tell this disease how you feel. She said, why would I do that? She said, that wouldn't accomplish anything. And I'm sitting there going, good answer, Mom, because I was about ready to straighten out the nurse, you know. But here's what I do know. You could not love her and you couldn't not be touched by the disposition she carried. So at her funeral, which I did, what an honor. I just blew a trumpet. Just boasted in Jesus and Mom. Nurses showed up at her funeral. There were several doctors there. Those people don't have time to be at Kay Mohler's funeral. Are you kidding me? People die on them every day. They don't have time to be there. The one doctor's the director of the city doctors of the York Hospital. He's standing at her funeral. Hi, buddy, you sore? You good? You're just kind of sitting there like you're like praying. Praying in quiet tongues or something. Is he good? You know him better than me. See, I'm looking. See, I got drawn to him. I didn't know you were there. I just felt like I wanted to hold you. See, I don't want you to be overwhelmed by these stories. That's when you stop and laugh. That's Holy Ghost anesthesia. It just keeps your heart from getting overloaded. I preached on selfishness at mom's funeral and complaining. And that when you complain, it's a dead giveaway that you're self-centered. It's unscriptural. I can read it several places. Unscriptural for a Christian to even think of complaining. That it's actually a doorway for destruction by the devourer and the enemy. That complaining gives you away that you're not what you say you are. It's really about you. Because you can't complain when you're selfless. You can't complain. God's not a complainer. He's not like, look at them bunch. Nothing I told them to do. Well, they know better. They shouldn't be doing that. Well, they want to act like rats. I'll treat them like rats. God's not sitting there doing that. He's not watching your life going, what? Are you kidding? Oh. No, he's saying, you're so much more than that. You have such a greater potential. You have such a greater purpose. You're being destroyed for what you don't know, but one day you'll see. I'm going to work on you and draw you to the light of who you are in me and who I am in you. That's the love of the Father. I felt that when I said that about complaining. The room, you can just feel that stuff when you're up here. You get privileges. When I said if you complain, it's a dead giveaway. You're self-centered. You could feel that in the room like, ooh. I'm not saying that to spank you. It's to help you, to tell you who you are. Complaining is not good. Not good. My mother had tubes hanging on her. I mean, things are going to the bathroom for her. Things are feeding her. And she's the sweetest lady you ever meet. Wasn't she? Wasn't she? My brother went like daily and just sat by her bed. He's so faithful. Just daily. Hey, Mom, just daily. Doctor came up to me after the funeral. His eyes were so filled with tears. The head doctor. He said, that was really powerful. He gave me a hug. He said, you sure did shed a lot of light on your mother today and helped me understand why she was the way she was, because I was that guy you talked about that thought she was an enigma. One in a million, once in a lifetime. He said, but now I understand it's what she understood and saw and believed. He said, you're right, she never complained. And there was something about her that drew you to her and you had to like her. I remember the funeral started and I looked and I spotted a couple nurses and I said, hey, hi. Because you get to know them. I said, oh my goodness, you guys. And I said, doctor, hey. See the other doctor, hey. I said, you know, I know why you guys are here. You came to honor her because you never met anybody quite like her. And you thought she's a once in a lifetime. And them girls are easy, you know, they're sitting ducks. I said, but let me shed some light on why she was that way. See, it's one thing to be healed. That's awesome. It's one thing to get a new job and a pay raise. That's easy. That's great. Give God glory and don't not believe for that stuff. But don't be not okay until it happens. See, I had my mom's experience, so it's pretty hard for me. I know people have pain. I had short stuff. I had some witchcraft stuff years ago. I live in a pretty amazing way right now. It's just pretty amazing that way physically. It doesn't mean you don't have your challenges now and then, but I have a perspective that it's just never about me. Like complaining it is about my body, my life, it's not going to happen. I've got myself, I see to not, it's not me. I'm not trying not to complain. You get it? It's not there. Like, because I see why I'm here, so it's never about that. It's not about things going better. Are you guys okay? Okay, I'll show you the scripture quick, and then I got to wrap up soon. I'm glad you made it, buddy. They told me you were doing that, and I looked. I said, is he going to die? I did. I said, is he going to die? Like, I set you up. Good answer. Great answer. Hebrews 2, I want you to see this quick. See, you guys understand, like in Hebrews 2, and I'll preach it. You can get there. It'll wait for us. Revelations, like chapter 12, I think. It says that the enemy comes and accuses God's people day and night. There's an accusation against God's people, watch, day and night. It doesn't say that God's flagrant, he's not helping and pitching. No, no, no. The eye is the lamp of your body. Your perspective, you might not understand this. Who knows that love's the greatest thing? Faith, hope, and love. Your perspective is every bit as important as your faith. Because if your perspective's not clear, your faith isn't even on a solid foundation. Faith worketh through love. If you're just desperate and you're driven by need, you're just praying, quoting scripture. You're quoting principles. There's a difference between somebody getting a terminal diagnosis and going, oh my gosh, and running to prayer and becoming the diagnosis versus, man, I'm sure glad I have covenant with you. I'm just not afraid because I'm never going to die. So death's not the issue here. Life's the issue. Purpose and destiny is the issue. Guys, we've been driven by things without realizing it. And our motivation hasn't been true faith. It's been scriptural principle. Who's ever been perplexed by how many things we haven't seen happen that we said we were standing for? Be honest. Can we talk plain? How many loved ones have we lost in the fight of saying we were believing? But yet the Bible says if we believe, we'll say the mountain, it'll move. And now we're confused, so we think it must mean something else because that's sure not our experience. I don't know that it's not our experience. I don't know that our foundation is healthy. I think we're driven by the problem. I think we pray because there's something wrong. I don't know if we pray because there's a promise and a covenant because we've been in a solid place. I think we see our child showing symptoms of something and we go, ah, because we've read and studied and we see the cycle. Like, oh, that's the symptom of, that's the sign of. And then we run to our room as a scared parent, an uncertain parent, and we pray. We call it prayer. And then we call two friends and cry at what we're seeing and say, please pray. And we call that all faith. The whole time you're doing that, your own productivity is crushed, your own influence is quenched, and you become a product of wherever they are or what they're not. Are you with me? We do it all the time. We go to a home group, and we look over at Sally, and we say, we know there's been struggles at home. It's amazing, because Sally's sweet. Sally is fun to be around. She's so sincere. And some of the men are even like, because her husband, it's like, isn't that something how it works? Sweetest lady, husband don't want nothing to do with Jesus, and he's like an ogre. I mean, Sally's just like flowers aren't even in season, and they just for Miss Sally. But her husband can't see that. And then the men are almost spiteful, like, so when you're praying for Sally's husband, are you praying because he's in trouble or are you praying because he's a jerk? Hello? When you're praying for Sally, you better be very careful. Because here's what we do. Right before the home group ends, Sally, honey, before we close, how's things at home? Sally's sitting there. And now we got our answer. Oh, honey, just come here. We surround her. We think this is Jesus. We really think it's spiritual. We think it's compassion. Here's the problem. Every one of us can relate how she's feeling because we know that would be us if we were in her shoes. So nobody can really help her. You can have sympathy. You can empathize. Watch what we do. Oh, you guys know what I'm telling is the truth. Oh, Lord, we just pray for Sally right now that you would bring her comfort and you would bring. And Sally, Oh, God, and we just ask you, Holy Spirit, to just come. And God, we just pray right now that you would minister to her heart and bring us this. And Father, we pray for her husband. And we pray for her. Why isn't anybody teaching Sally why she doesn't have to be broken? Why are we making her dysfunctional husband Lord of her life? And why are we accepting it and believing it should be this way? Why isn't anyone teaching her she's not in bondage to him unless she believes that she can be free? She can shine. She can walk in the light as he's in the light. Look, when he's living a mess, she is no less called, no less anointed, no less appointed, no less the daughter of the king. The trouble is she's trying to survive and doesn't realize it. And well-intended ministers aren't realizing it, so we keep the thing complimented and in place. So we make our highest goal feeling better instead of being changed. Are you guys okay? I've pastored. This is exactly what you do. No, it's great, because I always use it as the second example, the practical good girl. Practical example. So I say, so what do you do? You say, Sally, how's things going at home? She starts breaking and trembling. You bring her out in the middle and you kneel down beside her and it teaches everybody. And all of a sudden, people are empowered to pray from the right place for the right reason. Next thing you know, actually, after this is all done, people actually feel compassion for her husband. Yeah? They actually know that, wow, if her husband knew who he was, he wouldn't be this frustrated. He's so lost. He's the one in torment. Watch this. Sally doesn't even have a problem. Her husband's in trouble. But trouble is, Sally might need her husband to be a certain thing so she's okay. And then go to church and sing Jesus is Lord, but let this really matter more. Oh, I'm talking it straight right now. I hope you're all right. So you kneel down with Sally. And you say, honey, listen, I know it's been very challenging to you. And I realize he's very insensitive. And I know that he has those outbursts. And you're not in trouble physically. He's not hitting you. You just feel in love by him. This is real. I've counseled thousands of people. And this is the way I always go because it's truth and it helps and it changes people. Yeah, my friend Miss Karen's back here. Amen. Because she's known me from practically in the beginning. And here I am 23 years later and I'm a basket case. I'm not excited about this truth because everything's going well and everybody's acted right. There was a season in my own life, it looked like my family was blown up with a bomb and I didn't even have a voice. And if I did, nobody wanted to listen anyway. So what do? Feel sorry for yourself? Call Adam for counsel? Say no. Say it, Adam. No. You do need prayer, don't you? This compassion keeps throwing me over. I just want to hold him. So you tell Sally, you teach Sally why she doesn't have to be broken and that she's drawing her identity. She's got a mindset that's teaching her that marriage, give and take, 50-50, a lot of work. If her husband doesn't love her, that's a problem. Who knows, it'd be great if he'd love her. It all goes back to the beginning, garden, created for his image. But love isn't you lay down your life for me. Love is I've laid down mine already. Love isn't what you can do for me. Love is laid down my life already. So you got to teach Sally that and that she's being deceived. Because if not, here's the thing. Her whole life is being, as long as she's married, so then we say, well, you know what? God, you know, he doesn't expect you to live under this kind of pressure and you only got one life to live, honey. And you know, you probably just hooked up with the wrong one and maybe you just need to move on with your life that isn't yours that you already gave to Jesus, remember? We have ways and language talking around this stuff to medicate, if you will, our feelings, our emotions, and our internal rights that are supposed to be surrendered. If you didn't have internal rights, you couldn't be bitter at people. You couldn't be hurt by them. You wouldn't be offended anymore if it wasn't about you. It's truth. It's good to talk straight. Or do you want some sweet message? Or do we want to get this thing real? Or do we want to find out that we did church for years and never became her? That we actually learned how to do good church without becoming her?
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be a bummer. Do you think Sally is going to be able to stand before Jesus someday and look into his liquidy, fiery eyes of love? Whatever it's going to be like facing Jesus is probably going to be ridiculous and unspeakable, right? So there's no way to really preach that part out. But just play with me. Sally meets the Lord, and she goes and looks into his eyes of light and glory, and there's not an ounce of deception anymore in the room, and light exposes all darkness. So every little perspective that was slanted, that was twisted, that was deceived in Sally's life, going like oxygen out of a room, right? And she's like, oh! And everything is clear to her. Well, we can continue in the truth. We can get things clear now. We can keep following Jesus, not following our feelings, not following a friend's advice, following Jesus. So if I can't see it in his life, I don't want it in mine. If I can't find the words I'm speaking in his mouth, why are they in mine? I'm following Jesus. Christ in me, hope of glory, body of Christ. Do you think Sally's going to look and go, oh, Lord, you know I'd have served you better. You know I'd have done, Lord, you know, why didn't you change him? She's not even going to be able to think that. She'll know she was deceived. She's not even going to be able to think that. So if it's not going to work then, why would you let it work now? To buy time you don't have. Yeah. Redeem the days are. Some people don't want nothing to do with this truth. And some people we have no access to change that. So don't let that change you. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Oh. I'm trying. I'm doing good. I'm good. I know you don't believe me, but I'm good. Look at that. I'm good. I feel so anointed. Some guy last week, I was in the church, and he said, whoa, brother, you know what that looks like to me? I said, what? He said, double wisdom. I said, oh. It was just funny. And then the other guy walked out. I didn't know if this was good or not. He said, you look like you belong on a picture on a yacht, like standing on a yacht on a picture. I said, okay. But my wife thought I looked distinguished, so I'm not shaving. Okay. Look at Hebrews 2, verse 14, and I'll wrap this thing up. I quoted enough scripture, right? You deny yourself, pick up your cross, follow him. Satan, Revelations, accuses God's people day and night, day and night, day and night. We overcome him. How do we overcome him? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, but it doesn't stop there. The third one is what makes the first two so phenomenally powerful in your life. You love not your own life unto... If you complain, are you loving your own life? If you're discouraged, are you loving your own life? Watch this. Hebrews 12:3. Consider him who endured such hostility against himself, lest you be weary and discouraged in your soul. Yeah, but brother, you don't know what it's like growing up. You don't know what it's like in my home. You don't know what it's like living with my spouse. You don't understand the job. See, all that is rendered powerless when you understand truth and live by faith. Don't be deceived. Your light is important. That's why these lies on her video are so destructive. To not see your value, to not like yourself, to quench the ultimate purpose that her light is so important. So important. Why? Because it's part of the body of Christ in an army that's rising up. We're in the world, not of the world. We don't think by the same rules. We don't play by the same rules. We're out of darkness, into light. We're not stereotyped by weight, figure, nose shape, eye color. You know them by their fruits, not their figure. So this thing is trying to steal what she's here for. And that's why life feels like a grind to many good-hearted people, because they're living life outside of why they're here. Why would God fill your tank with gas to drive down a road you're never called to travel? No wonder people think life's a grind, because they're living it outside of the grace of why they're here. You with me? I got to read this and I'll be done. I'm pretty close to on time, right? 11:45, right? Holy Ghost, leave. 11:45. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I'm good on Sunday. We got children's church and stuff. We don't have to stay here all day. Are you kidding? We could have left after the video and Brian's little bam. I was over there crying thinking, just let's go home. Let's just go home and be Christians. You know? Who could not relate to her video? Take it a step further. So she experienced God's love and realized, wow, all this stuff has nothing to do with my value. Whoo, He decides my value. Wow, He loves me. But watch, it's not to make her some arrogant Christian. Hey, I don't care what you think. God loves me. No. It's so she's so enamored, so overwhelmed, and so touched by that intimate love and that wisdom and that view of her life, apart from all these things that mattered more her whole life, that all of a sudden she starts taking on that very image and becomes that very same thing to others. That's the goal. It's not that you be loved by God. It's that you become the love of God. That's the purpose of the cross. The purpose of the cross isn't God loves you. God loves you. Hey, God loves you. The purpose of the cross is you becoming that love that loves you. So that as you go, you get it? What would be the point if we're just saved? Hey, my name's in the book of life. Hey, when he comes, I'm out of here, baby. I'm going to heaven. No. You're supposed to preach the kingdom of God is here. Through your life, your perspective, through your attitude, through your disposition. Yeah? Where's the kingdom of God? Look it up. You know what it means? Within reach. Within reach. Ain't that something? Inasmuch as the children, Hebrews 2, verse 14. Inasmuch as the children, you got it up there? That's good. Just read off the board. Inasmuch as the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same, that through death he might render powerless him who had death, the power over death, and that is the devil. Look at the next verse, 15. Now this is what I want you to see. And might release those who through, and release those who through fear of death were subject to that bondage. Fear for themselves. Fear for their own sake. It's called survival mode. I promise you the gospel is not a survival kit. The gospel is the answer for transformation. We're not here for what God can do for us. We're here for how he can make us more like him. And if we miss that point, we'll let life decide how we're doing instead of the life that's in us. And the message we'll send will be distinct. You know them by their... And it'll be the sign of a believer, whether it's perverse or whether it's kingdom. Seek ye the... and his... That's the way he sees you through the blood, speaking better things. And all these things necessary to fulfill his will shall be added unto you. In the beginning of Seek Ye First the Kingdom of God, of that segment of Scripture, I don't know what they have it paragraphed as, but it's he's talking about having peace and stuff. He says, so why do you, he says, look at the birds, look at the flowers, man, they toil, they don't toil, they don't spin. Why do you, God, man, you have way more value than the birds and the flowers. He says, besides, isn't life more than... these. What he's saying is, isn't life more than provision? So then you got to answer, well, what's he talking about then? What is life for? He's trying to tell us through Scripture why we're here. You're not here to survive. You're here to shine. He wants to free those who through the fear of death were subject to the savory of death all their lives. He restored you to eternal life. You have to settle in your heart. I'm never going to die. It's not about how things are working out. It's about what I'm expressing in the midst of it all and the message I'm sending. Our sphere of influence plus our sphere of influence plus our sphere of influence plus our sphere of influence, living in this manner, I promise you, makes a difference and sows life into the hearts of men. Or we're just people with a different doctrine than they have, but we're shook up the same. Come on. What good does it do to come here and listen to these guys who I love and adore for the rest of your life and never miss a Sunday and actually come up here and actually support the vision here by dropping some monies in here every week and get thrown into crisis 25 years later and respond like the man that never went to church? To sing how you believe in God for the next 25 years and sing all these amazing songs to Him, get thrown in trouble, get mistreated, have a wrongdoing towards your life, and respond like the man who doesn't even believe in God. And actually justify why you're hurt. Jesus is not hurt. He hurts for humanity. He doesn't hurt because of humanity. He's not mad at you. He loves you. It didn't say, for God was so frustrated and at wit's end with the people of the earth, He finally sent His Son to try to straighten this thing out. He said, for God so loved you, and love never fails because it doesn't seek its. So guess what we do? Love you. Hey, love you. Do you love me? Really? You didn't sound like it. Say it again. It's so mushy. We use the words all the time. I rarely say it. I rarely say I love you, and it might not be a good thing. I rarely say it because we say it all the time, because most of us get tricked into feeling like we need to be loved. And it's cheap words. It's caused more pain. The words I love you has caused more damage than it's ever blessed anyone. I love you. It's usually I need you. Don't jump ship on me. You're working for me. Love you. In this room, you'd be amazed how the large percent believes the people closest to your life can hurt you the most. And that puzzles me, because they're the ones we say we love, and love takes no account of the wrong done to it because it doesn't seek its own, and it never fails. Then why are we broke up by each other if we love each other? No, we're being deceived. We were trained by the world, and now we live in His kingdom. That's not just live by His language, it's live by His life. You guys good? I'm going to close. I'm going to quit. I'm going to pray. Then we're going to do something real quick. I know they prayed for the sick and things. We're just going to do something way quicker than I normally do, but don't think it's religious and without effect. Father, I just thank You for this message. I pray that You would speak to our hearts. Here's why I'm excited, Father, and You know this. You said the kingdom of God is if a man scatters seed. All I am is Danny Gospel seed. I just get to scatter seed, man. And I'm just believing it's sown into the hearts of men, that it'll be watered, that You'll bring increase, that I could go to bed at night, wake up and say, man, You're amazing what You do in men's lives. All of a sudden, Brian's telling a testimony of 2009. Lord, this man's out in the foyer. I would have been maybe committed suicide by now if it wasn't for this truth. Lord, I'm just sowing seed. We give You glory. You are given increase. I just pray that this seed would stick in the hearts of every man, woman, and child here. I pray that we could not have ears to hear. I pray that, Lord God, this seed would become life and a big living thing that things come and find shade and refuge under. I bless You, Lord, and I thank You for the gospel. In Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. I don't do this rarely, but I want to do it in my heart. I want to do it real quick. It'll take 3-4 minutes. I have 3 minutes. Raise your hand if you need some kind of physical healing in your body, just where you're at. Just raise your hand if you want to be prayed for. Raise your hand. Keep it up. Please, keep it up. Somebody sitting right near them, real close. Just grab their hand. Just grab their hand. Leave it up so they can see who you are. Please take their hand. If you're sitting side by side and you both have your hands up, take hands. If you're sitting around those people, don't overwhelm them. Don't like smother them, but just touch them lightly. Let them know you're standing with them, that you care, that you believe. Now here's the deal. Your prayer never heals anybody, okay? It's not your prayer. It's His finished work. It's what He accomplished. It's not your prayer. Don't get self-conscious when you pray. Watch. Don't try to pray right, powerful. Many of us, as soon as we go pray for the sick, we get self-conscious and try to pray the best prayer. Why don't you just believe the best thing? That He loves people or He'd have never sent His Son. And He's here to restore and redeem and make whole and make right. Amen? One of the biggest challenges praying for my mom in the years that I prayed for her was all those things attacking me. It was probably the biggest spiritual challenge of my life. having all the revelation I have and seeing people healed, and yet it's my own mother and praying, and then my mind would go bonkers. And sometimes I felt like I was just being religious and going through the motions. I wasn't believing anything, but I was just supposed to pray. And I just it was a real time. Today I want you to be so simple, and for about 6 seconds we're just going to pray over people, and then we're just going to dismiss. But here's what I want you to do if you raised your hand today. I want you to believe this one thing. He has to love me. No matter what I've been going through, he has to love me, or he'd have never sent his son. Don't let your trial question his love. Let Christ crucified settle it. His love is not up for sale. It's proven, and we're rooted and grounded in it. His love will never fail. You with me? It's good to see you again. Are you ready? 6 seconds. I just want you to pray over them to be healed, to be made whole, and that all sickness would leave their body. In Jesus' name. Go ahead, just start speaking that. Father, I just thank you all through this room. Wholeness, bring change. Father, pains that were there, let them be there no more. Even today, let them 4 or 5 hours from now just go, whoa, something's different. Something's changed. Bring strength where there was weakness. Bring regeneration where there was degeneration. Lord, thank you for a clean sweep through this room. The best we understand, we're releasing simple faith in your love, your finished work, King Jesus. Be healed in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you. Now, if you're being prayed for, I want you to do one thing. Believe he loves you. And just thank him. Thank him that he loves you. Father, I just thank you. You're doing things in this room. I thank you. Strength is coming. Even, Father, this day, as somebody's getting up, getting down, they start realizing, whoa, something's different. Something's better. Something's moving more. Let it be personal. Let it lead to this, Lord God, an intimacy and relationship. Overwhelm your people with your love. And let us become that same thing. In Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Amen. Thanks for your time, guys. I appreciate it. Thank you.